What's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
A why is fully formed by the time we're in our mid to late teens. The youngest person I've done a why discovery for was 16, and it worked. The process worked. And what I've learned from just doing hundreds of these over the years is that a why is always positive. It's always striving for something. So like, we're not inspired against something. We're not inspired to stop something. We're inspired to build something or create something or advance something. Though it may have been born out of trauma, there's usually a silver lining that gives us that cause. Well, my why is to inspire people to do the things that inspire them so that each of us can change our world for the better. That is the foundation of everything that I do. And that's the test through which I run everything that I will do. Like, does this inspire people to affect some sort of change or perspective?
And why does that matter to you?
It's not that it matters to me, it's who I am. It's like, that's core to my being. It's like, your why is core to your being, my why is core to my being. That's my personality. It's what wakes me up every day. It's what fulfills me. It's what fills me as well. And then I have my cause, my just cause, which is, you know, my why is where I come from. My cause is where I'm going. And my cause is to create a world in which the vast majority of people wake up every single morning, inspire to go to work, feel safe wherever they are, and end the day fulfilled by the work that they do. You know, that if you're going to put stress into something, that you get to enjoy the fruits of your own labor. You know, building something and looking at it and say, I helped build that, you know? That's a beautiful thing. And so any work that I do is always to advance that cause. So there's a bunch of things that I'm doing, some of which will work and some of which will fail. You know, we are who we are. Like I said, we're fully formed by the experiences we have when we're young, you know, at a pretty young age. And now the opportunity life presents us is to make decisions that either keeps us in balance with who we really are or not. And I think one of the reasons most of us feel discomfort or don't feel ourselves or don't know who we are is because we're making decisions that are inconsistent with that true cause, with that why. So you raise the case of individual athletes who become champions and then suffer depression. It's a fairly common story. You hear this from Olympians. You know, Michael Phelps becomes the most medaled, you know, Olympian of all time, immediately suffers depression. Andre Agassi becomes the most storied, you know, tennis player of all time, immediately becomes depressed. And what I've learned from talking to some of these particularly athletes, but I think it happens in the business world as well, which is from a very young age, they set themselves a goal that, in my words, would be a very selfish goal. I want to be the best at X, the best tennis player, the best golfer, the best whatever. And you know, the way Olympians put it, which I get a kick out of, is I want to win the Olympics. I'm like, well, no one wins the Olympics. Like, you can be a winner in your sport, you know? But it's an aside. But and their entire lives from pretty young ages, every decision they're making is to help them advance this finite goal. And all of their relationships are, can you help me achieve my goal, right? And if you can no longer help me achieve my goal, I don't need you anymore as a coach or even a friend. And there's huge sacrifices, missing of birthdays, missing of Christmases, you know, missing of major life events, because I have to practice so I can achieve my goal. And when they get interviewed on the news, you know, or at the Olympics or whatever, you know, why do you do it? And they all say, well, I'm doing it to inspire the little kids, which is complete bullshit. You know, if you look at all of their vision boards from when they were younger, of pictures of podiums and medals and money and Lamborghinis, not a single little child on there of the people you're doing it for. It's just a lucky strike extra. I mean, absolutely, you do inspire children, but that's not the reason you did it. You just got that, you know, like I said, it's sort of it's a twofer. And then when
Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
They achieve or don't achieve this thing and then can no longer compete for it. They've set their entire path and all their relationships on this one, these finite selfish goals. And so when it's complete, they realize they don't really have a lot of friends around them. They don't really have a lot of close relationships. They don't really even have a sense of purpose because they've been spent the past 20 years or so with one purpose, which was this finite goal, which now has run out. And so they're very purposeless. And I see this in Broadway performers who set their whole life to be on the West End or be on Broadway. You know, every class, every tap dancing class, every singing class, they make it, they get there, and then depression, or at least malaise. Or senior executives, same thing. If I just make $1 million, you know, if I just become a millionaire, then I'll feel. And the problem with all of those things is, as I said before, they are selfish. It is your goal for your reasons, which is not fulfilling for any social animal, for any human being. You know, our sense of joy and fulfillment and love and purpose comes from our ability to serve another human being. Have a child, tell me how your life changes. Fall in love, tell me how your life changes. You know, think about all the stupid things, irrational things we've done for love. We get on planes and travel around the world just to say, I love you. You know, we do ridiculous things and it all feels worth it. And the sacrifices we make for a child all feel worth it, but these are no longer for us and these things will live on beyond our own lives. They are not finite, they are infinite. And there's nothing wrong with personal achievement, there's nothing wrong with setting goals, but it has to be in the context of something even bigger. But the reality is with rank, you do set the tone. So for example, no lying. That seems like a pretty simple one inside a company. We don't tell lies, okay? Phone rings, your assistant picks up, they put the person on hold and they call out to you. David's on the phone and you go, tell him I'm not here. You've just sanctioned a lie. You've just sanctioned a lie, right? And that little lie then, now that person who was told to lie approvingly, now they can tell a lie, right? Because it came from the boss. And all of a sudden, you find out you have an organization that tells lies all over the place and some of those lies grow. It happened to me once where I had a very, very senior phone call with the top leaders of a really big organization. And I forgot. I just didn't show up on the call. I have no excuse. I forgot to check my calendar and I forgot. And my assistant at the time, of course, wanted to protect my reputation. And she wrote to them and said, terribly sorry, Simon had another meeting that ran long. And I took her aside and it was the hardest feedback I had to give because she did it with such good intention. I said, I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful that you're protecting me and you're protecting my reputation. And I want you to do that, but you have to do that without lying. We cannot lie. You can say, I'm sorry he's late. I'm sorry he missed the call. But you cannot say it's because he was in another meeting, because that's not true. Now, you don't have to be mean. There's nothing that says truth has to be brutal. It just has to be true. Try for the next 48 hours and see how hard it is not to tell a single lie. But there's ways of doing it, right? Do these jeans make me look fat? I like the other jeans much better. They're way more flattering, right? You don't have to hurt people. Also timing, right? So a true story. So I went to see a friend's play and I could not wait for this thing to end. It was so bad. And I went out, you know, to say hi to her after the performance and she came out. She was still in costume and makeup. And she knows I'm an honest broker. She cares about she knows I'll always tell her the truth in these kinds of things. And she says to me, what did you think? Now is not the time and place. She's pumped up full of adrenaline. And now is not the time for me to give her a critical evaluation of this god-awful performance. And so I sidestepped the question, but said something true. I said, ah, it was such a treat to be here, to see you do your thing. You know, I've been wanting to see you on a stage forever, and it was so much fun to see you on the stage. All of that was true. The next day, when the adrenaline had come down, and I called her up and said, can I tell you what I thought about the play? She goes, yeah, of course. And I told her critically, piece by piece, what I thought about it and how bad it was. And we had a perfectly rational conversation about it. Didn't hurt her feelings. The day before, I would have really hurt her feelings. So not everything has to be, we mistake being honest with being honest now. At some point, you have to give somebody else feedback. Like, self-assessment is a thing, but it's not the only thing. It's a thing. It's a data point. And I'm a huge believer in self-assessment, but you have to have that buttressed with the assessments of others, because we are blind very often. We're social animals. We cannot do this thing called career or life alone. We're just not that smart. We're not that strong. We're not that aware. We're just not that good. As social animals, we actually need each other to watch our backs and tell us what's working and what's not working. You know, we don't build trust by offering help. We build trust by asking for it, because it's a vulnerable thing to ask for help. Will you help me is a very, very vulnerable statement. Can I help you? Not so much. An act of service. But the act of service really comes from allowing somebody else to serve you. And to deny someone else the intensity and joy of being there for someone else, again, I think is selfish. Never asking for help is selfish. Asking for help is a great act of service, because you allow someone else to have the joy of sacrifice. And it goes backwards and forwards. It's not one-sided.